probably does. Let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job this morning, chapter number 13 in the book of Job. And as I was studying the scriptures and trying to find the mind of the Lord, but having to preach, these are the verses that God kept bringing to my mind. And so I pray that they'll help us today. Once you've gotten there, we'll stand if you're able to. And now we'll read Job 13, verse 15, and verse number 16. That's Job chapter number 13, verse 15 and 16. And of course, Job is writing for a psalm. And so the Bible says this. Job says to his friends, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I want to talk on this little thought this morning. When we don't understand what's happening. When we don't understand what's happening. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, for your guidance today. I ask, God, to fill the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would guide every syllable, every word that will come from my lips today. I pray, God, you help me to preach the word of God that you have me to preach. Nothing more, nothing less. And I pray, God, you take your word and speak to all our hearts. Those who are here assembled to worship. Those who are assembled, Father, to watch by the internet. I pray, God, you feed our hungry souls. And I pray, God, you build our faith muscles. And God, give us strength for the journey that we face from day to day. I pray, God, we leave here today much encouraged because of your presence. And that, God, will thank you. And Lord, if I left anything out, yes, sir, meet that need as well. Matter of fact, if there's anything between you and I that would hinder you from using my vessel, I pray, God, you forgive me, that you cleanse me, use me for your honor and for your glory. And that's it for now. Of course, in your son's name we pray, not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. 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 Maybe see it. When we don't understand what's happening, and all of us, as we travel throughout this life, we're going to face certain things that take place, and we're not going to understand what's happening or why this is happening to us. And it just blows our mind. God, what are you doing? God, why are you allowing this to take place in my life? Have I done something, or is this an attack from the enemy? But even then, once you have researched and you have tried to find out the reason why, you still sometimes have to come up to this conclusion. You don't understand. Right. That word understand that we're looking at means to perceive the meaning of. It means to discern or to explain. In other words, you just can't understand this. You can't discern this. You can't explain this. You don't understand the meaning of this. No matter how you wrap your mind and you wrap your brain. That reminds me of this verse. Hold your place here. But go with me over to Proverbs 3. A very familiar passage. If I write anything or sign my name anything, a lot of times I put down this verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where the proverb that's written says this. He says, "Trust in the Lord with half your heart."
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Watch this. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." He says, don't rely, don't depend, don't support yourself on your own understanding. And that word understanding, that means your own wisdom. So he says to us in this verse, what we need to do is trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't lean to your wisdom, because your wisdom and my wisdom, it just don't, it don't make sense.
Right.
I mean, why? I'm traveling down the road, trying to serve God, my vehicle breaks down. Well, I don't understand that. Now I'm going to miss this meeting, or I'm going to miss this opportunity to be a blessing to someone, or many other things that take place, and you can't understand it. You try to reason out, but like the Bible says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen. Come on.
That led me to another verse over in Proverbs 23, one that's not mentioned much, but it still has the same impact. He says in Proverbs 23 and verse 4, he says, "Labor not," this is going to mess somebody up, "labor not to be rich." Somebody said, "You going to talk about that?" No, we just had this in the verse. "Cease from thine own wisdom." But it does say a lot of folks work to be rich. Don't do that. You spend all your time trying to be rich, and then when you finally think you're rich, you've made it, then you die and go to heaven and leave everything behind for everybody else to enjoy. Man, He says, labor not to be rich, but watch this, cease from thine own wisdom. That means to stop from thine own wisdom or understanding. He says, don't do it. It'll jack you up. It'll mess you up when you're trying to reason out why and you just don't know why. Of course, yesterday, we were celebrating the life of Kelly. Kelly turned 43 years old while she was in a hospital. She passed away, and now she leaves behind her a daughter, 18, and I think the oldest one is 20, I believe, 20 years old. And we can sit and say, why? Why did this take place? Why did this happen? And you try to understand it, it still blows your mind. You still can't figure it out.
Right.
We think about Ashley Sampson, and she loves the Lord. She sings for the Lord. But it's like, wait a minute, why does Ashley have these seizures? And why is she having these blood clots? And why, and why, and why, and why? And no matter how much we ask the question why, we still don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
We still can't figure it out. And when we look at Job had a similar situation taking place in Job's life. By the way, we need to remember something. Job is the first book in the Bible. Well, some of y'all might not know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the oldest book in the Bible.
That's right.
So that tells us something. Job didn't have Genesis.
Nope.
Job didn't have the Psalms.
Nope.
So Job did not know a lot of things that you and I know today and that you and I can depend on today. But yet Job makes an awesome statement in these verses.
Yeah.
Look what he says. Now go back with it. We'll be done here in a second. But look what he says in verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yeah.
The first thing we see is Job's possible death. Job's possible death. That word here, though, is a hypothetical a particle, which means if. So Job says, if he slays me, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. He might kill me, but I'm still going to trust in him. And just so someone's to be a reminder of what's taking place, remember Job has lost all of his livelihood. All that he had has been destroyed. He's lost all of his children. His body is racked with boils. And his wife has told him, just cuss God and die. All these things have happened in Job's life. But yet Job says in this verse, though he slay me, if he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now as you study this all out, you'll find out one thing he's saying too here is this. We read the verses around it. Though I come in his presence, I know this is a dangerous thing. I come in his presence. If he finds me guilty, he might slay me. But you know what? I'll still trust in
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Right. Let me ask us, do we have that same mindset? And we have Genesis all the way down through Revelation. So do we still have that mindset? Well, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And the verses go on and on and on. We see how God delivered time and time again. But will we say that same thing? Yea, though he slay me, he might kill me. But I'm still going to trust him.
Yeah.
That's a hard saying. But here's another thing. He didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You and I, because we're saved, born again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, what he produces, will help us as we rely and depend and trust in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He'll enable us to have victory. So it's greater he that's in us than he that's in the world.
That's right.
So you know what? We have the ability to say the same thing. But the second thing we see here is this. Job's decision. This was a decision that Job made. Job says in verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I, come on now Job, will I trust in him? He has made a decision to trust in the Lord. And you and I have to make a decision to trust God or not trust God.
Yeah.
Question is, which one is it going to be? We got a friend, one of our buddies. Well, your buddy too, bro. Man, I can't remember that. But he is a buddy of ours. Brother Macklemore, he's having vehicle troubles, trying to go serve the Lord. You know what? But he's still trusting him.
Right. Yeah.
You may have situations taking place in your life, and you and I have to make a decision. When you got saved, you made a decision to trust in the Lord. He didn't force you. He didn't make you. He didn't put you in a headlock and say, you're going to trust me. No. He says, whosoever will. And watch what Job says. Job says in verse 15, he says, yet will I trust in him. That word trust here, man, this is going to mess somebody up. That word trust here also means to wait, to be patient,
right.
Hope, expect. Say what, preacher? He said, while you're in this verse, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will wait on him. I will be patient. I will hope. I will expect. How good is our patience? Are we patient? That's not one of my gifts.
Come on.
That's not a gift, brother and sister. The Bible teaches us that he can give us patience, but people say this. They say, now, they say, Melissa, don't you be praying for no patience. Do you know what you're saying?
Yeah.
What you're actually saying is this. You don't want endurance. You want to quit. But when you say, Lord, give me patience. Right. Help me to expect you to show up. Help me to wait for your arrival. Listen, when we go and I order Big Daddy's, or I go to over to the fish place, Harold's. When I walk in the door, Harold's, they don't have the fish waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wish they did, but they don't. What they tell me, they say, it'll be 10, 15 minutes. So, you know, I walk, I ain't come back here. No. I go sit in my car and I wait.
Yep.
And as soon as the 15 minutes is up, I come walking in there. Now I'm expecting my catfish with the lemon salt and pepper. And I've been doing this lately, putting some mild barbecue sauce on mine. Unless, though, I'm expecting it to be ready. You know, and then I have it here. What's your number? I tell my number. You got the one? Yes, that's me. That's me right there. That's mine. But you know what? Sometimes we don't have that patience. But Job says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'll be patient. I will wait for him. I will expect him. I will hope in him. Let me ask us, are we expecting God to show up?
Come on.
Sometimes we don't expect God to show up. It's like the preacher that came to, I think it was Charles Spurgeon. And he says, you know what? I'm not seeing any salvations. Nobody's getting saved. And none of these things are happening, you know. And then Charles Spurgeon asked him a question. Do you expect people to get saved every time you worship or preach? He says, no. It's okay.
Yeah.
You ain't expecting it to happen.
Come on.
And a lot of times, we're not expecting anything to happen. We're not expecting victory. Well, you know, I don't know how it's going to, you know, what's going to. Wait a minute, brothers and sisters. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. But the Bible says to trust him. Believe in him. I don't know about you, but I like victory. And God knows exactly how to give us victory. And he says in this verse, he says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will definitely wait for him. I'll be patient. I will hope. I'll expect his arrival.
Yes.
He's going to show up. Not bad. Where's you got to go?
Mm.
Where's you going to? I said, I do a little drug. That ain't going to help you. I do some alcohol. Oh, yeah. That's built many a home. Many a family's been built and strengthened by alcohol.
Yeah.
No. They've been destroyed.
That's right.
Look what the Bible says over here in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look what Jesus says to the apostles. And look how they respond, or how Peter responds. Look at John chapter 6, verse 66. Just calm down. It's a good verse. The Bible says in John 6, verse 66, from that time, the Bible says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, he said this to them, will ye also go away? Will you withdraw? Will you depart? Then Simon says, in verse 68, Simon Peter, he answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going? There's no where else to go to. You're the words for eternal life. You're the one that we're trusting in. You're the one that we're believing in. And I don't know about you. Where's the man going to go? To the other side? Satan's side? No. I want to stay on the Savior's side, and I want to stay trusting God and the Spirit of God, giving the strength and victory from day to day. What are you saying, preacher? Like the Bible teaches us, Peter said, man, where am I going? Where are you going? I'm like, well, I'm mad at God. Okay. Now what?
Come on.
I don't know what now, but still, you know, I'm upset with God. God's been good to us.
Yes.
God, now listen, and a lot of times we don't like this part here. If God was to show us in a mirror, you know we wouldn't like it either. How jacked up we are. I ain't jacked up. That's jacked up right there. But I mean, in our thinking, the thoughts that go through our minds, of the way we behave, how we act, how sometimes, don't even raise your hand, nobody move on this one, how we bark at one another before we get to worship.
Mm-hmm.
We be riding to church. Hey, 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 hey. Then we got a car. Praise the Lord. My soul. I mean, but yet you know what God does? Grace and mercy. Grace
yep.
and mercy. What are you saying, preacher? There's nowhere else to go to, folks, that's going to help us.
Amen.
And he makes a decision, verse 15, he makes a decision. Though, that's a Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And the third thing we see is Job's defense. The Bible says, Job says in verse 15, but I will maintain mine own ways before the Lord. That word here, maintain, means to prove or to justify my own ways, my own road before him, in his presence. In other words, Job said, I haven't done anything. And Job hadn't done anything. But his friends, you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
His friends, well, you did something, Job. You did something. All this happened to you. You must have did something wrong. And a lot of times, the things happen to us. But what was wrong with them? They tried to be right with the Lord. You know, Mike Miller did something wrong. I'm sure he done something. All that stuff happened to him. You know, yeah. You know, Mason, yeah, you're right. No. But nonetheless, and here's Job. These things have happened to Job. And they're both saying, hey, he's guilty of something. And Job said, listen, I will maintain, I will prove that I'm not guilty. I will go before the Lord and I will acknowledge, check me out, I haven't done anything. Now, a lot of us can't do that.
All right.
We go for the Lord. You know, we're like, Lord, for come down with the hammer because I know I'm guilty. But Job hadn't done anything. And let me show you how you know that. Look what the Bible says. Over in Job, chapter number 1 and verse 1. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Job 1 and verse 1. The Bible says in Job 1 verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect. That's not being without sin. You understood that out. And upright and one that feared God. And the Bible says he eschewed evil. He turned aside from evil. He was doing those things which was right. Then drop down and look at verse number 8. The Bible says this. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He ain't doing it for nothing. And then the Bible says in verse 10, Satan says, has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Hmm. You got the hedge around him. I haven't preached this in a long time. I used to preach a sermon called When the Hedge Comes Down. And sometimes God has that hedge around us. He's protect. That's what Satan said. I can't get to him. You've got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. But you pull down that hedge and let me at him, and he'll cuss you. Oh, yeah, because he ain't serving you for nothing. What this shows us, Job hadn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't done anything. He prayed for his kids. He made sacrifices and things of that nature. He was innocent. But yet all this stuff was happening in Job's life. All these things were taking place in Job's life. And brothers and sisters, there are sometimes in our life where God brings down the hedge. And the hedge is not so much to hurt us, but also to prove that we don't serve God because we got all the money in the world in our pocket. We are serving God because our car runs all the time. You know, I don't think nobody here like that. But nonetheless, amen. It's not because some people, if things go bad, you find just how much faith they have.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, I trust God, I believe God, when things are going great.
Yep.
But what about when everything is falling apart?
Come on, preacher.
What about when you go into your bank account, I hope this won't happen to you, but you go to your bank account and you find out somebody came by and took some, they borrowed your money, took it out your account. And now you got negative, you know, $10,000. You're like, what in the world? What happened here? God, why you do this to me? Number one, God didn't do anything to Job. He allowed Satan to do those things.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? Satan can't touch me.
Yeah.
Unless
God says.
Unless he has permission, he is allowed, he can't touch me. And if the Lord allows it to take place, there's a reason, there's a purpose. I might not understand, I might not be able to comprehend, but one thing we can all do, brothers and sisters, is say, yeah, though he's saving, yes!
Well, I trust him. Amen.
I continue to trust him. I will not go away. I won't back away from
come on.
Him. Where should I go? There's nowhere else to go to.
Amen.
God has been the giver of our life. He's the one that saved our soul from hell.
Yeah.
Give us a place up in heaven. Watch this. We see that Job gives a defense, but then we see Job's deliverance. Go back with me to verse number 16. We'll read 15:2. The Bible says, Job says, don't be slain me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him in his presence. He also shall be my salvation. And that's why he's saying he's going to deliver me. For a hypocrite shall not come before him. Now, what that word, what this is saying here in this verse, that word hypocrite also means godless, but it says, shall not come before his presence. A person who is a hypocrite ain't going to show up. He's not going to enter God's presence and say, I'm innocent. See, no, he's not innocent. It's just like, now, see, we know God knows all things. He ain't like our parents. So our parents don't know all things. But God knows all things. He knows when you're lying and when you're not lying. Yeah. And I don't forget my kids were growing up, and I would be like some of y'all give the opportunity to tell the truth.
Yeah.
I said, are you sure? Yeah, I know. So you know I'm asking you for a reason. I guess they're trying to figure out now, does he know or does he not know? Poor Billy. Billy had playing for a lot of stuff at our house. What do you mean by that? They thought you would see them somewhere and you come back and let me know. Billy, but Billy's a singer. Billy used to be all over the place, you know. I said, yeah, I know what's going on here, man. You know, now sometimes I'll be not really being honest because I don't know, but I'll be trying to, we got to be detective. We got to be all that stuff
when you're parenting, okay?
You know, and I know some of us is like, well, parents just let them do it. No! No, ooh, man, if we had the stuff, the technology that they have today, man, they got DNA kits and all kind of stuff, you know. I'm like, who touched this right here? Nobody, everybody like, nope, I said, all right, I got your stuff right on file. Let me go over here and I can all right, DJ, this is your DNA right here, all right, come on down. DJ, come on down, amen. Oh, my soul. But you know what? Our God does know every single thing. And that's why Job says right here, a hypocrite will not come before his presence. A hypocrite ain't going to show up because he know that he's pretending. He know he's pretending. And to stand before God, say, no, that ain't going to happen. But look at the first part of that verse, which is what I'm going to focus on. Job says this, he also shall be my salvation. He says, God shall be my deliverance. He will rescue me. He will deliver me. Even though I don't understand. Even though I don't understand what's happening or why it's happening. Job did not know, by the way, at the end of the story, God never shows up and tells Job why. Never tells Job why. But watch what the Bible does show us. The Bible does show that God delivered Job. Look at Job 42 and look at verse number 10. Look at Job 42 and verse number 10. And I encourage you to read all these verses before that over in Job. But look at verse number 10. And look what the Bible says in Job 42 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and just don't say ouch, when he prayed, not for himself, for his friends.
Yep.
Now you pause. Now, these are the same friends that were saying he was guilty.
Yep.
And then God said to them, read the verse before that, God said to them, you go and get Job to pray for you, because I'm not going to accept you, but I'll accept Job.
Mm.
Now, not us, but some of them other Christians, they've been like, I ain't praying for them. Oh, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Oh, yeah. Lord, send fire down from heaven. Well, I'll blow up their car and their house. Lord, let them lose their job. That COVID-19. Lord, I miss it. Yeah, y'all know. Yeah. It's not me preaching. Yeah. Man, some of our foes, you know, they, something happened wrong, they'll be like, well, you know, they shouldn't have did what they did. But notice something. His captivity was turned when he prayed for them.
Yeah.
Now I just wonder if our captivity hasn't turned because we hadn't prayed for certain folks.
Come on.
I ain't praying for them.
There you go.
I ain't gonna pray. Woo. That might be why you ain't having no victory.
There you go.
That might be why you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, because you refuse to pray for somebody that might have hurt you, that may have wounded you, that may have slandered your name, or any of these things right here. But the Bible says that when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity.
Amen.
There
you
now
go.
Watch this.
Then
the Bible says something else happens.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse number 10, it says, and when they turned the captivity of Job, when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job, twice as much as he had before. Double for his trouble. The Bible goes on to say this, verse 11, then came there unto him all of his brethren, and all of his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And so the Bible says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the names of children there. And in the Bible says in verse number 16, and after this lived Job, watch this now, 140 years, and saw his sons, come on now, and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. All that stuff that happened to Job, the Bible says God gave him double back.
Yep.
Then he lived, what was 140 years after this.
Yeah.
He saw 4 generations of his family. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sure them grandkids, them great-grandkids, and them great-grandkids would come by and they would want to talk to their papa. They want to talk to him, and he would tell them about what happened. You know, you had 7 uncles, and you had 3 aunts, but they all died. They was killed. Yeah. I had a whole lot of stuff, and I lost everything. But God gave me more children because y'all are the offspring of them. God gave me more children who have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so forth and so on. God gave me victory. Now, watch this now. There's one thing he was not able to tell them. What was that? Why?
Hmm.
He couldn't say why it happened.
Right.
But he could say that God gave him victory. And that God blessed him even more so in his latter days than the beginning. You think about some of your grandparents and how they've talked to you about how God blessed them, how God made a way out of no way, how God came through once again. And what does it do? It encourages you and it builds your faith. When I think about my mom, my grandmother, and how they would talk about how God did this and how, and I saw God do a lot of great things. And I'm going to tell you what, those things inspire you. They motivate you to continue to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even though we better understand why it's happening, we can trust Him, we can believe Him, we can lean upon Him and not lean on our own understanding,
yeah,
but trust in the living God.
Amen.
A lot of people get depressed and they can't figure it out. They cannot figure it out. So they get depressed. Why? I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I'm doing the spiritual math. I'm doing the English. And I'm doing all this stuff, but I still can't figure it out. He said, just trust Him.
Yeah.
Just trust Him. Because you ain't going to understand it a lot of times.
Right.
That's right.
It says again in Romans, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You and I understand this. We were married for so long, they just got up and left. After years of being together, after years of having children and then having grandchildren, they just up and leave and gave me no explanation of why. I don't understand it. We know what he says, trust him. But then I go worship. And I sound like Job, because Job worshiped. But yet these things happen to Job.
Yeah.
Let me ask us a question. Will we continue to trust him? Yeah. Like Job said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
I got two questions for you. First question is this. What is happening in your life at the moment that you just don't understand why? What is happening in your life at the moment and you just don't understand why? The second question is this. Will you make a decision, like Job, to continue to trust Him? Will you make a decision, like Job, to continue to trust Him? And the last is a simple little statement. Let's come this morning and cry to Him like never before.
Yeah.
Father, I don't understand what's happening. I can't comprehend it. But Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I've done my best. I've tried to give out, Lord, as you have been directed to. Now, perhaps there's some things happening in our lives and we don't understand why it's happening. We can't figure it out. We're perplexed. It don't make sense. But Father, I pray that when life doesn't make sense, help us, God, to trust you. Perhaps, God, there's some brothers and sisters that are here today that they've talked to you about some of these things, or maybe something else that's taking place in their life at the moment, but they need to bring it to the throne of grace today. I pray, God, they come and bring it to you, because you know what to do with it. You know how to handle it. You know how to give peace, even when we don't understand. Father, help us today. And perhaps, God, there's someone that wants to pray for someone who they care so much about, they love them, and they want them to admit to me. I pray, God, they come this morning. But God, whatever the needs are, there might be somebody here that's lost and said, preacher, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I pray, God, they come forward, talk to me, or someone they have confidence in, and we show them how to, from the Word of God, how to trust Jesus. Father, we heard the song, we heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. What's your Son's name we do pray for? Mighty weak, Jesus, no sir, but mighty Jesus.